My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
By grace are you saved, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We gain words like mercy. We're saved by the mercy of God, Titus 3, verse 5. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed, Lamentations 3, verse 21. We gain words like forgiveness, Acts 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Just as we partook of that fruit of the vine this morning, Jesus, as He instituted it, said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for many for the remission of sins." You know, you may lose some bad habits. Maybe you used to drink. Maybe you used to get involved in partying. Maybe you used to be involved in immorality and ungodliness. You'll lose those characteristics, those bad habits. But look at all the good habits you'll gain. You'll gain the habit, the lifestyle of wanting to come and worship God. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord." You'll gain the ability to encourage and strengthen others. We're to encourage one another daily. You'll gain the ability to help those who are in need and do good to all those inside the household of God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. And so what's amazing and positive about Christianity is that even my losses I can count as a gain. Now I want you to do this. Take your Bible if you would and turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. You're not far from it. I want you to look in Philippians 3 and verse 13, and here we learn that we as Christians, we get to count the prize. Look in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. The Bible says, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I don't count myself as apprehended. That is, I can't say to myself, "I'm there, this is where I need to be," implying that I always need to grow. But look at what you do get to count. The prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We get to count heaven as our own. The Bible teaches that it is that resting place for the child of God. Hebrews 4 verse 9, there remains a rest. It's that place where all the sorrow and pain and hurt of this world won't exist. It's that heavenly home where God is. It's that place where sin and the devil are not. And so I count for myself the prize of heaven itself, which is far greater than anything you could imagine. Now, I want you to look at another passage in the book of Philippians. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, and I'd like you to look in verse 21. That's Philippians chapter 1. I'd like you to look in verse 21. As a child of God, one of the positives of Christianity is that we now get to count death as a gain. Look at what your Bible says in chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. The Apostle Paul says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul here is stressing how that it's far better, far greater, a much greater gain to depart and be with Christ. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Friend, listen carefully. What makes Christianity so great, what makes it so positive, what separates it from any other way of life, is the day of your death will be the best day of your life. People in our world view death as a sad, as a dark, and as a dreary day. A day to be prolonged as long as possible. Whatever it takes, we don't want to meet that day. And that's not the view the Christian has. The Bible says our death ought to be the happiest day of our life. It's a home going. We can go home and be with God. I've mentioned these passages to you multiple times because of the inherent value. Psalm 116 verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. How does heaven view it? From heaven's perspective, death is a precious thing. How should we view it? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. It is a precious thing. It is a blessed thing. And in reality, the child of God never really dies. Would you open your Bible to John chapter 11? Jesus is here discussing with Mary and Martha about the brother, the death of their brother. And He says to Martha in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." She says, "I know He'll rise again in the resurrection and the last day." Look at what Jesus says then in verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me," Jesus said, "shall never die." Jesus asked, "Do you believe this?" Friend, do you really believe that even if you pass from this life, you'll never really die? Jesus said in Matthew 25:46 that the righteous would go away into eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the true and living God, Jesus said. John 17:3, and so death's not a bad thing. It's the crossing of Jordan. It's the passing to the other side where we'll all live forever in that beautiful place called heaven. All right, take your Bible then and turn to James chapter 1, verse 2. I want you to see another positive of Christianity, and this is found in James chapter 1. And I want you to look with me beginning in verse 2. That's James chapter 1. Beginning in verse 2. Here's something we can count. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Look at what I get as a child of God. The trials, the difficulties, the challenges that I face in this life, I can count those as a joy. Now, friend, isn't that backward to the way the world thinks? Bad things happen and we say, "Woe is me." Sometimes people look up to heaven and they say, "God, why'd you let this happen?" But the Christian says, "I can count that as a joy." How is it we can count it as a joy? We can count it as a joy because of the inherent value of these trials. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing what? That the testing of your faith produces patience. We let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Implying that our trials actually strengthen us. They help us to do good, and they help us to see what life is really about. Now, turn your Bible to Psalm 119, and I want you to see one of the best passages in Scripture about the value of trials. Look at Psalm 119. You talk about something to count a joy. This man does that. Psalm 119, we're going to look in verse 67, and then I want you to look in verse 71. Psalm 119, verse 67, and then verse 71. David said, or the psalmist said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep Your word." Look in verse 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn Your statutes." You see the inherent value the psalmist saw? He said, "Before I was afflicted, before I had these troubles and trials in my life, I went astray. I was unfaithful to God before the trials." And then he looks back and he reflects and he says, "It's been good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn Your statutes." Friend, trials have an inherent value because they remind all of us of what's really important in this life. The things that really matter. They teach each of us the priorities. "What shall it profit a man," Jesus said, "if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" When we've got trials and difficulties, they remind us that gaining this world isn't what life is all about. They remind us that being popular is not what life is about. Having the most stuff, having the most friends, having the most pleasure. That's what life. That's not what life's about. What's life about? Getting to heaven is what life's about. They remind us that seeking first is the most important thing. All right, one last positive. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Here we learn that when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are added to the Lord's church. Look in Acts chapter 2, and I want you to notice the context of what Peter said, how they responded, and the positive benefit that came. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter, up to this point, has been preaching Jesus as the Messiah, as the one predetermined by God to be the sin bearer. And then he says this in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now watch how they responded. The Bible says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we need to do to overcome this sin problem, to be forgiven of killing the Messiah? Peter said in verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now you'll notice in verse 41, those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Well, what is that them? Look in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, notice, and the Lord added to the church daily those are being saved. What's positive about being a Christian? Friend, I get to become a part of the Lord's church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm a part of the Lord's body, the church, which hell itself cannot stop. I'm a part of that church, which one day God, His Son, is coming back to receive. 1 Corinthians 15:24 says that when Jesus comes, then He will take the body, the church, to live with Him forever. I'm a part of that church whose purpose and goal is to glorify God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Unto Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so what a privilege and honor it is to be a part of the Lord's church. Friend, we ask you today, have you taken advantage of the positives of Christianity? Are you able to count your losses as gains? Are you counting the cost of what it really means to serve Christ and the great benefit you receive? Do you realize you can actually count death as something good as a Christian? You can be added to a part of this body, the Lord's church that meets right here, if you'll obey the gospel. Have you become a Christian? If not, why not? There is no greater life, no greater way than the Christian way. You can today hear God's word. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe so much so that you'll change your life and repent. Luke 13:3. Make that good confession. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And you can be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38.